sand. All of the ground is sinking sand.
Amen.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God has been wonderful to us. Not only good, but wonderful. Because He has blessed us. And let us just thank God that we are still here. Because so many people are not here anymore. And that's the alternative to being here, is not being here. Or being not being here is the being here is the alternative to not being here. That's what I'm trying to say. So we need to thank God and be ever grateful to Him for all of His blessings. And this morning, Brother McReynolds did a fine job this morning with the pressure that he's under. And I think we need to take a moment and just all of us need to remember those who are sick. But especially Paul is hurting this morning. So let us help him out as he gets into the rest of his singing so that he won't be standing alone. Let him know that we're there with him. This morning, let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, You have blessed us, Lord. You have been wonderful to us. You have been magnificent to us. You have given us our health, at least a reasonable portion of it. You have given us our food. You have given us our shelter. And You have given us our clothing. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, that all might be well with each and every member in this congregation this morning. And we pray and ask You, Father, to bless this congregation. Be with the leaders in this congregation. Be with those and be with them who are leaders in their families, O Heavenly Father, that they might continue to do their jobs as leaders. And we pray and ask You, O Heavenly Father, to be with those members this morning who are not feeling well and have sickness in their family. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. And we pray and ask You, O kind Heavenly Father, to be with each and every member here. Be with those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and those that shall come from this point on as well. We pray that these services will be found acceptable and favorable in Thy sight. And then, Father, when we have done all that we can do, when we have walked the last mile of our way, when it is time that we should be called home, please, Father, give us a home with Thee. In Thy Son Jesus' name, who went to the cross, we ask it all. Amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the first book of Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And we want to pay particular attention to verse number 19. If in this life only we have hope of in Christ, we are of all men, most miserable. You know, I've learned a little bit. I've learned a little bit in this life. I used to go to waiting rooms of sorts, and I used to wonder why they would have magazines in the waiting rooms of things like Senior Living and Modern Maturity and all those magazines. I wasn't interested in it. Now I enjoy those magazines so much. It just goes to show you that life can take you from one place to another. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself from where you used to be, find yourself in a place where you never thought you would be, some of us. This morning, from that text, we want to look at a subject called Hope Beyond This Life. We know that we are not living for this life only. Christians everywhere believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If not, they will soon find themselves being caught up in a world of Satan's traps. We find the teacher Paul starting around verse number 12 there of this chapter, dealing with a topic that is still alive and flourishing in these days and times. He is speaking to those who would say there was or there is no resurrection of the dead. Notice his proposition to that line of thinking in verse number 13 and verse number 14, if you will. But I sometimes question some of our Christian brothers and sisters, for they say they have faith, but all of their actions are faithless. Christians must accept the fact that we are going to suffer in this life, and if we have our hope in Christ only in this life, we are sadly miserable. For some people think that Christ is still dead. Some people think that Christ did not raise himself or was not raised from the dead. But again, in verse number 13 and 14, look how the old teacher, the old soldier of Christ, how he presents that. Understanding, and certainly if you believe, you need to understand that God was true in what he said that he would raise from the dead. And he did. So again, in verse number 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We live in times today where there are sorrows and tears and many heartbreaks. Heartbreaks are around every corner. Heartaches bring on heartbreaks. It seems as though every time we get our lives running on the right track, something else causes a derailment in that life or in our lives. This is why in verse number 19 there, he states what he states. He said that if we only have hope in this world with Christ, then we are all of all men most miserable. My life would not be worth continuing if I only had hope in this life. I can raise my own hopes in this life, but we need Christ, church. We need Christ not only in this life, but also in the life beyond this life. Since we believe in Christ Jesus, we believe him to be our Redeemer, just like Job said back in Job chapter 19. He said, we must be unwavering. We know that our Redeemer lives and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. We all know in this life these heartbreaks that bring us heartaches, or these heartaches that bring us heartbreaks. Our dreams may often be shattered. We dream of wealth, fame, success, and every time it seems as though we get successful, what we consider ourselves to be successful. When we get $1 saved, we owe out $2. But Jesus warned us about that in this matter in Matthew chapter 6, around about verses number 19 and around verse number 20, where the Bible says, lay not up treasures upon earth, which moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves may steal it. But instead, in verse number 20, he said, lay up treasures in heaven, where those elements can't harm it. Sometimes it may be our children. It may be our children who bring sadness and disappointments and heartaches and sorrow into our lives. Ask yourself this question this morning. Do you have a prodigal son in your family? Or one whom the role of life has turned him into a child that you may not even know anymore? Or even worse, maybe you have a child who has become a Cain. You do remember how Cain caused grief upon his parents, do you not? Perhaps it may be a spouse who wants you to be like Job's wife was and say, why don't you disregard God? Why don't you just curse God and die? And sometimes you're dealing with all of these things and these heartaches that come into your life, these heartbreaks that come into your life. You can't handle them by yourself. Perhaps it's even you. Perhaps it's yourself. You can't figure out which way is the right way. Perhaps you don't know which way you're going. Perhaps you want to be as Jonah was when God told him to go one place, and he decided to take a cruise and a vacation and go somewhere else. But as Christians, we must put our hope in the power that's higher than this world will ever be. So if in this life we only have hope of Christ, hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now our text speaks of hope. But maybe we need to figure out what hope is. Well, simply put, it's a term used when we anticipate favorable expectations. Hope is much more than that, though, which hope is what we look for in this life. But then we also ought to be looking at hope in the other life, in the life to come. Hope in this world. Let me give you an example. We as Christians, we hope for things good to happen to us in this world. Well, all people hope for things good to happen to them in this world. But when you look in the Bible at Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That's hope, church. That's God's promise. That's the promises of God that we can have hope in Him. Hope is greater. God's hope is greater than man's truth. Our hope is the happy anticipation of good over evil. Christ is in us. Christ in us is the hope of glory, according to Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 27. When a man and a woman decide they want to get married, they began to discuss plans on what they hope to be a happy union. They plan for things like a home. They plan for children, and they plan to build their assets. Maybe they even plan to take many trips or many vacations. All too frequently, their hopes can hit a roadblock called reality. And reality is not always pretty. This is man's kind of hope. But the kind of hope that Christians should be looking toward can be found in Titus 2 and 13. Looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If the only hope we have is in this world, we are, according to the text, of all men, most miserable. Now, as Paul was dealing with these folk, he was trying to explain to them that they have to believe in the resurrection because the resurrection was real. Look at what he said in verse number 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and then your faith is also vain. In other words, what we do when we stand in the pulpit doesn't mean anything, and what you have faith in doesn't mean anything if Christ was not raised. Yeah, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be not be that the dead rise not. If the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and yet we are still in our sins, church. Oh, there's a lot there, church. If Christ be not risen. If Christ be not risen, the hope that we have is fruitless. If Christ be not risen, our worship is in vain. If Christ be not risen, church, we all may as well get up and go home right now. But we know better than that, don't we, church? We know that Christ did resurrect himself from the grave. We know that he was brought out of the grave. We know that Christ, according to the scriptures, went back to heaven to sit at the right hand of his Father. Isn't that right, church? Oh, there's something about having hope in this world, but there's something better about having hope in the life beyond this world. Because if we only think of this world, then that's saying that we only believe that Christ himself did not raise himself from the dead. And we are of all men most miserable. Once we have come to realize that this ultimate hope is not of this world, we can better understand the scripture in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 11, and that is hope until the end. Oh, I know that some of us may not be any of us in here, but there are some folk today who still don't believe in the resurrection. There are folk who still don't have any hope because they can't hope. They say they can't hope in someone that's not real. But I tell you, God is real, church. God is real. And then once again, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sin. And we fight every week and every day to stay out of sin. Most of us do, I think. We try our best to stay out of sin. And there's something for the man who fights a good fight and tries to stay out of sin. You see, when you battle Satan, you're doing a good thing. But some of us, instead of battling Satan, we're battling Jesus Christ because it doesn't go along the route that we think it ought to go along. But then if Christ be not risen, then our faith is in vain and we are still living in our sin. We must live our lives as though there is no tomorrow, for there may not be a tomorrow. In the second book of Timothy, chapter 4, and around verses number 6 and 7, we find the words of one who has given his years of service to the Lord. And now he finds himself in the position of speaking of his own death. But he speaks of it in a positive manner.
Death, when one has led a righteous life, may be spoken of as a departure. Look what the old soldier said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and round verse number 6, or verse 6 and 7, rather. I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He had delivered the gospel everywhere he went, but this debtor was now ready to have his debt mark paid. In verse number 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He was not in fear of death, for he felt he had did by the grace of God his very best. And I'd like to ask the question this morning. Could you make that same testimony? Could you testify that you have done all that God expected of you? Have you done the best that you can? And you know, this is not something that's just reserved for the old soldier, the old warrior Paul. All of us are going to come to this point one day. All of us are going to get to this same point, and no, none of us know the exact day nor the exact hour when it shall come. But when it comes, will you be able to say, I have fought a good fight. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Will you be ready? Will you be able to make the statement that your fight was good and that you finished the course? And I can answer the question for some who won't be able to say that. Some will say, I did all that I thought I could do. I did it my way. But Paul was saying, I did it the Lord's way. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He was in these end times. He was in his end times. And hope is all that one has left during these times. For our family can't help us. Our friends can't help us. The doctors even throw up their hands and say, I can't do anymore. Even societal laws will become useless. Do you remember in Psalms chapter 16, around about verses number 8 and 9, the psalmist wrote these words. He said, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. But then in verse number 9, he says, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, for my flesh shall rest in hope. Oh, can your flesh rest in hope this morning, church? Are you hopeful this morning? Are you sitting back and saying, I'm just going to let life lead me wherever it may lead me? We must build our hope upon Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Well, you know the song. Not in this world. So then when you go back to the text, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. When you think about it, church, if all you think about is what am I going to have to eat tomorrow? Or what am I going to do tomorrow? Or what am I going to wear tomorrow? You have to plan for your soul's departure as well. And one day the Lord is going to come back for you. One day the Lord is going to say your ticket is ready to be punched. And then are you going to be able to make the statements that Paul made? Have you fought a good fight? Have you been continuing to fight a good fight? Have you made your life the best that it can be? Have you done all the righteousness that you could? And are we going to, as Christians, are we going to make mistakes and have faults? Yes, we are. As a matter of fact, you may even have a few more faults because you are a Christian. But the good thing about that is that God will help you out. And when your life comes to that point where you must make a decision, and we all must make decisions in this life, when you come to that point where you must decide, am I going to follow righteousness or am I going to follow evilness? You have to decide. You have to decide which direction you want to take. And I know that there are some who decided, well, I'm going to serve Jesus. And they've stayed the course. But there are others who say, well, I just find it too hard to live for Jesus. I want to have a little fun. I want to do my own thing. But then I can tell you from just looking at people in this world today,
doing your own thing can lead you to destruction. When you do your own thing, you have no guidance. See, when I'm doing my own thing, I usually don't think things out too far. I don't plan for what tomorrow may bring. See, but when I follow Jesus, I know that if it's in His will that I have a tomorrow, first of all, I can plan my life around Jesus Christ. And I know that there are some who say, well, how can you plan your life when you don't know if you'll have a life? Well, you go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for another day. You ask Him for another tomorrow. When you got up this morning, I'm getting ready to close first time. When you got up this morning, did you thank God for waking you up? Or did you say, oh, well, the clock just went off, so it's time for me to get up. And you throw your feet out on the floor. Well, you got to think about it, church. There was something to that swing out of the bed to the floor. There was something that helped you to get from the laying down position to the sitting down position. There was something that helped you. There was something, someone that watched over you last night. There was someone that kept you through the night, and you didn't keep yourself through the night. When you do the best that you can and you ask the Lord to bless you as you make your way in this life, you've got someone that's helpful and hopeful on your side. And then when you finally make up your mind that I can't do it without the Lord. And you say to yourself, and sometimes it takes age to bring you to this point. Sometimes it's not in a young person's mind to understand the wisdom and the righteousness and the knowledge of God. They just don't have it. I applaud the young folk in this life today who realize that God is good and He's always good. But as older folk, some of us are not good role models. Oh yeah, we can be a good role model when it comes to being telling them all about the football and all about the baseball and all about the basketball. Oh yeah, and I don't have a problem with you watching or doing football, basketball, or baseball, because I do baseball and a little bit of basketball. I stayed up last night and watched the shootout or whatever they call them. I watched a man jump over a car, but I wonder when he jumped over that car, did he realize who gave him the strength to jump over that car? There's hope in the Lord Jesus, and if you only have hope in this life, you are most of all men, most miserable. We've got to build on the hope of Jesus Christ, as I said, in His righteousness. If we have our hope in Christ, we can stand on His promises. Hope in mankind leads to nothing but destruction. When you think about it, church, when I look at this matter, there are several things that are common threads in all of mankind. Number one, our lives are short, but they're short and they're full of trouble, according to Job chapter 14. Our lives are not promised a tomorrow, according to Proverbs 27 and verse number 1. Our lives are scheduled to end one day, according to Hebrews verse 9 and 27. Jesus is still our hope today, not only for this life, but for the life beyond this life. Because there is life after this physical life. Yes, church, heaven is real. If you don't believe it, go over to John chapter 14 and read about those first three verses. It's a place where death shall not enter. It's a place where sorrow does not dwell. It's a place where the night is no more. And Jesus has said He will be there as we are there also. Where are you, church, this morning? Where are you in your prayer life? Where are you in your Christian life? Where are you in your hope-filled life? Where are you this morning? Will you be able, when the time comes, will you be able to thank Jesus and say, I have hope in you, this morning, Lord? When your end time shall come, will you be able to say that you've done a good job and you fought a good fight? Will the battle be something that you'll be proud of? Or will you say, I didn't do all that I could. I strayed a little bit. I went to the wrong way a little bit. And I didn't veer myself back on the right path. I was in the race, but I fell off the track.
Or will you be able to say, I've done my best? And when I've done my best, guess what? I can't do anymore. When I've done all that I can do and it was the right thing to do, what else can I do? I can only ask God in my prayer life to make sure that I keep it on the right track. And you know, it's not hard or not easy all the time being a Christian. It's not always easy. Because in the Christian life, many darts and many wiles of Satan will be thrown at you. For he likes to target us. Why does he like to target us? Because we don't belong to him, not most of us. And if he targets us, some of us put bullseyes on our chest. And we invite him to get me. But if you're not the kind who has a bullseye on your chest, you need to continue in prayer and have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know my time is up. But I just want to say just a couple of more things before I take my seat. And those couple of things are this. That if you only plan to live this life and you're not planning to live in the other life, you've got a problem. You know, we plan for everything in life but death. That's why funeral homes, funeral directors have plans now where you can prepay your own funeral. That's why people are getting into estate planning these days, because they want to make sure that they're covered when they do die. And make no mistake about it, you are going to die. And you never know who may be the ones to roll you in the church house door or in the funeral home's door. But you are going to die. I wish I could say that we were not going to die, but we can die and then live if we live right while we're living. And if you live right, then you can die right. And if you die right, you can meet the Lord in peace. Oh, and won't it be wonderful there? We sing the song, won't it be wonderful there? Because there'll be, as I said, no more sorrows. No more tears. There won't be any more nights. There'll just be you, me, and all of us who tried our best to get there. Oh yeah, and I pre-planned to get there now. Don't get me wrong. I said me, because I plan on being there. I don't know if I'll make it, but I'm planning on being there. And if you're planning for you to be there, Lord willing, we can see each other when we get there together. Won't it be wonderful there? So the question comes up, what can I do to try to make sure that I can get there? Well, you need to meet the Lord. And then once you have met Him, you need to stay in Him. How do I meet Him? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being put down in the watery grave of baptism. Were you baptized today? He said He would baptize you today if you need to be baptized. And if you've already been baptized long time ago, and some of us go longer back than others, of course, but if you were baptized a long time ago and you met the Lord back then, but somewhere in this life you went astray, well, why don't you just make up your mind to come back home? Ask the Lord to forgive you. Then come forward and ask the church to pray for you. You know that the prayers of the righteous avail as much. Now, I don't know who's the righteous in here. I can't tell you that. But the Lord knows. And if they pray for you, their prayers can avail as much. So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
655. Here's a fountain fee, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh.